And now part of his skull fell off. Mark Maron.
Oh, that guy was lucky. What the hell was that about? I don't have it in front of me. Here, a couple of things I wanted to say. We had Nick Hexum on. 311 is going to start their huge tour at the Greek Theater September 8th. Tickets are going to go on sale Saturday at Ticketmaster Outlet. He also told me, go to Global. If you go to globalwarming.org, it gives you all kinds of misinformation. It's a bad site. It's one of their sites. It's bad. What else was I going to say coming back? Oh, yeah, obviously, I just want to say, I am upset about this show ending. I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I'm just like, you know, I'm numb to a certain degree, Jim. And you and I are going to go on to big things because we're going to be on the first independent shuttle mission with Branson. We're going in the shuttle. Did I tell you that?
Mark, that's you poor sad man.
No, I swear to God, I'm going to space.
So, in your imagination.
I'm going to space.
Turn on that music again, will you?
I'm going to space. All right, well, where's my intro for my friend Carlos? Hold on. Stay right there, Carlos. Don't go anywhere. Oh, by the way, I'm going to be...
He's been on things.
I'm going to space in... what's his name? Nick Branson? What's Branson's first name? Sir something? Sir Richard Branson's shuttle. I'm going. I don't care what anyone says.
You get a free DVD and a compact disc, too.
Yeah, and they give...
any Virgin Record store.
Yeah, and you go on the shuttle and you get a little cute travel bag.
Yeah.
Mark, they give you, all right, what?
The only shuttle you're going on is to LAX.
I'm not! I'm going to space!
Sorry.
I'm actually going to my high school reunion on Saturday in Albuquerque. Look, I got a guest here. I'm not going to pull it, you know. I'm going to be respectful.
What's sad is that going to know about the ending of your show at your reunion? Hey, sorry about the ending of your show, Mark. What? Yeah. It's been 20 years! That's what you got to say to me!
Carlos Alzaraki is Officer James Garcia, right, on Comedy Central's Reno 911. You may have heard Carlos as Mr. Crocker on Nickelodeon's Fairly Odd Parents.
Yep.
Rocco on Rocco's Modern Life.
Yep.
And Lube and Winslow on Cat and Dog. Cat/Dog.
With Tom Kenny.
Tom Kenny, another San Francisco guy.
Another San Francisco
Carlos
guy.
Carlos is also starring in two new cartoons for the Cartoon Network as Monroe, the Scottish Pug Dog on Juniper Lee. You have a great website. I didn't even have to write any of this. And as Laszlo on Cartoon Network's number one series called Camp Laszlo. You're working. You're amazing. Carlos is also the voice of the Chihuahua on the Yokiro Taco Bell commercials.
Now you see why I won the competition. All those voices, my friend. Who needs good jokes and political commentary and point of view?
It was mine. I was set.
It was fixed.
It was fixed because you lived there longer than me.
I was the safe Latino right around the turn when we started, you know, accepting that, and I plugged right in.
But yeah, I'll be honest with you. I remember the night. It was at the Masonic Hall.
Yeah.
It was this weird, and I was at that time very paranoid and the Illuminati conspiracy, Freemasons, the whole thing. And like when I pulled into park there, I asked the attendant, hey, tell me about the $1 bill. How clear does it have to be, right? You know, the pyramid, the eye in the pyramid.
Yeah.
And that's how my night started. But then I get in there, and I choked. I got to be honest with you. It was, you won it.
I don't know. I thought you and Patton Oswalt were the two best comics.
Yeah, you're right. You kind of got, it was a gift. And
yeah. Well, I'm going to call a ball out when a ball's out in tennis, and I'm going to say that you guys were the better comics, but... you.
Oh, it's okay.
It's radio.
We can bleep it.
Yeah,
we're being taped.
Yeah, whatever.
No, it's cool. But the thing was is that with the competition, you kind of broke the curse because a lot of first place winners went on to what?
Yeah, who won when Robin Williams won something? Lucas.
I don't know. Do you know
Ron
the history
Lucas,
of this?
Yeah.
What happened to that guy? So the second place was really the one to have.
Mark Curry had second place.
Oh.
Hanging with Mr.
What's
Hooper?
Going on with that guy?
Well, he had to hang with Mr. Cooper Hooper thing. What's going on with me? I live in North Hollywood. That's not, you know, I'm not hanging out with the Clampets in Beverly Hillbillies
but
or Bel Air.
No, I know.
I'm picking things. I'm sitting on the couch that Dick Van Dyke tripped over, I think.
That is exactly
very comfortable.
It's that couch. How do you know that? That's weird. That's a trivia. No one's gotten that.
Because I'm channeling the ghost of Maury Amsterdam. There's a voice that's lost. I can't, like, book me at colleges. I do a great Maury Amsterdam.
How about Rochester?
Rochester.
Rochester.
Wait, that guy. I never saw that show. With somebody else did him.
How about Walter Brennan?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Walter Brennan. Even you can't do it.
Walter Brennan. I love Walter.
We thought we were going to have to.
How about Barb Charlotte? Bob Charlotte were bigger.
Oh,
huge.
Yeah.
Tiffany Vance, she's so full, huh? Gives about 10 minutes to Ike Turner straighten her right out. That's a great Bob Sarlacc joke.
Oh, this is amazing. You're doing the history of San Francisco comedy.
Yeah.
Let's go all the
Rob
way back.
Rob Schneider. Hey, Mr. Bauman. Rob, this is Mr. Bauman. And, of course, the great Lake and Earl God radio show. Is Bob there? Bob's not here. This is God. No, I want to talk to Bob. Bye.
Knows it better than I do.
He remembers your bits better than you.
Are you staring at me? No, we're staring at the person behind you. Thank you for calling.
Oh, that's awesome.
Classic.
Man, can you do Joseph Cotton?
I don't know. I don't know who's Joseph Cotton.
From Citizen Kane.
No, I can't.
Can you do him?
Yeah.
Joseph. Charlie never really knew the real meaning of love.
It's impeccable.
I don't do any voice.
Beautiful.
I love this. I feel thoroughly entertained. So did you know what season of 9/11 is this now?
Yeah. Well, I prefer to call it 9/11 and not name it after disaster.
Oh, 9/11. Sorry.
Yeah, you dial 9/11 on the phone. But hey, it doesn't matter. It's whatever. Just watch it.
Yeah.
It is 9/11 season. It's doing good. 9/11 is doing good. it's worked well for me, Mark. It's been beautiful. I love it. I've been wanting to milk that disaster. Wait, what color is it today? Magenta? Is there a terror alert today?
It's always a terror alert.
I got to know the color before I leave the house. It's doing good. Third season DVD is coming out. Fourth season is coming out on the 9th, this Sunday, if people are listening. Sunday night at 10. I think that's relative to what coast you're on, but it doesn't make a difference.
That's true. It's a very funny show. We're talking to Carlos Alves Rocky. He plays Officer James Garcia on the show.
Yeah.
We're going to continue talking to him because the music, see here, the big band music?
I hear that the music cue out. That's like finish your Oscar speech or go to commercial.
Speaking about the Emmys, did you get nominated for anything?
Somebody said that we thought we might have, but not me.
I got the list. I'll look.
Let me know.
We'll be back in a second with Carlos.
You know, he's just a wander in time, Mark Maron.
We're going to be okay, man. We're going up in the shuttle.
Now, you see, that's what? Dickie Barrett's music, and Dickie Barrett was taken off 103.1, so it's pretty prophetic that you're playing this song.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Whose music is it?
Dickie Barrett caught from Boston, from the Mighty Mighty Boston's.
He was, but did he play it on his show?
No, he never played the Boston's. Rarely. He didn't want to.
He was a Boston, but didn't like to play the Boston.
Didn't want to talk about that stuff. Red Sox, that was it.
That's right. He was on. It wasn't that long that he was on.
No, and he should have been.
Yeah, you liked him?
I liked him. He's super. And I was, I love the Boston's, so he was awesome.
Is that, do you listen to radio? I talk radio a lot?
You know what? I'm a sports geek, so it's mostly talk radio. I listen to sports talk radio. And occasionally, I listen to AM 1150 here in Los Angeles.
Uh-huh.
So I've heard your show at night. Phil Hendry, I love. I think he's great.
He's a genius.
I
don't know how the hell he does that. I hear that to watch him do what he does is fascinating.
No, wait a minute, sir. I'm talking about Santa Claus needs to have a beard because he's scaring my children. No, come on. He just does it. He's awesome, though.
But he must have two different boxes.
He does.
You know how he does it?
He did it at Aspen Live. I didn't get to see it, but he was like in a box like the Pope so people could see how he how he did it. Yeah.
Oh man, I guess he got a little right wingy, and I think he's done. I think he's retiring.
Yeah, he did that little short-lived sitcom called Teachers, I think.
Right. That was just last year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was six episodes.
Man, so what failed TV projects have you been involved with?
Oh god, the Stephanie Miller Show. We were talking about that in 1995.
Really?
She wasn't a stand-up, but she had a talk show, right?
No, they shoved her into the old Arsenio Hall stage. And who needs intimacy? Let's make this big and. They had an audience behind her. They shipped in, literally, these people that were drug rehab people. They got paid $5 just to sit there.
Are you serious?
And shut up.
Was she coming from radio, though?
She came from radio. Some guys from Buena Vista Television, Disney, heard her on the radio and thought, this is great. The concept will be that she talks to people on the air all the time. So we'll do a live talk show, and we'll have phones at the tables. And so the audience can phone her, and she'll talk to them on the phone. They had little red phones on every table. It was bad.
What were you doing on it?
I was like irregular. I was one of the sketch guys. And so
was that long ago?
We did some clever stuff, actually. I think we were an inspiration to all the Leno stuff. It was right during the O.J. Simpson thing.
Right.
O.J. White Bronco. And so I played Barry Sheck. I did Not So Braveheart. I did we did Woody Allen and Bill Cosby in The Money Train. I thought we did some good stuff, Dave. Jews are not good on trains. Really bad.
And you did, that's funny, man.
We did all kinds of sketch
stuff. And that was right, see what you got from the competition? That was right after it.
That was like 2 years after. But you know what? I was the proverbial flavor of the month. Literally, 30 days is how long that lasted. The morning after the competition, I got like 72 phone calls.
Right.
And all these managers, and blah, blah, blah. And I met with them and wine and dine. And then I got the suits, William Morris, and blah, blah, blah. They all took me out. They showcased me.
Yeah.
Showcase.
Yeah.
like you're, what's the guy on the Bugs Bunny? No, the guy in the Rudolph special. Nothing.
Yeah.
30 days scooped in a dumpster with a cat, you know, competing for food.
What was the closer? If Scottish Satan? What was it?
Was that my
devil?
Closer?
I don't remember. What was that bit? I remember that was
the
really
bit
funny.
Was about English people always play evil characters on television. I am Lucifer. I speak the king's English.
Yeah.
It's never a Scottish guy. Hey, I'm the devil. You know who liked that bit? Bill Hicks loved that bit.
And did he?
Mark Maron and Bill Hicks, two of the darkest, brightest, most brilliant comics, can like that bit.
Man.
Then I can die.
You're so nice.
And that wasn't a stolen bit. I wrote
yeah,
that.
And
well, actually, it was kind of borrowed from a concept that Don McMillan had, which was
Scottish people
can never give bad news. Because they always say, oh, your whole family's been killed.
Yeah, right.
But see, I took it a notch up.
You did, man. You animated it. You gave it character. You
gave it life.
You gave it mythic.
I called him Dirty Jimmy. And then I did this movie project that may happen with Mr. Lawrence, who's Plankton on SpongeBob, very brilliant guy. And we added the fact that this guy is a born-again Christian. The people used to make fun of me, and I say, Dirty Jimmy, you're this, you're that. And I say, screw you, I've got Christ now. A brilliant born-again. And then, you know, Shrek comes out, and everybody thinks I'm stolen from that, and it goes nowhere.
Did you do Shrek, too?
I didn't do Shrek. That was that guy.
That's huge. Those are like...
Mike Myers.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I guess. I like you better, man.
Thank you.
It's nice to see you.
I'm not Canadian.
I forgot that you still had this angry edge to you.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. You should see me at Clippers games. Make your foul shots! Come on! Hi, how you doing?
So, just to vindicate me, I did. It was good for me to leave the other night because Dane Cook did like 40 minutes.
He
right?
did do 40 minutes. And like we said, I watched with jaded eye, like most comics do. I wanted to hate the guy because he's so successful. I don't know what bits, who's stealing.
I have no idea about
that wasn't an issue. I liked him. I thought he was good. I thought he had some really brilliant stuff about people committing. I thought brilliant in its depiction of how he brought it to life.
Okay.
About various ways that people commit suicide and how friends call you to tell you to watch it. Man, you got to see this tape where this guy blew his head off. Or you got to see this tape where this lady lowered herself in acid. And I thought, he's taking some chances.
But you know what? That sounds like Patton Oswalt stuff. From maybe like 9 years ago.
I said, I don't know.
You know, that's the weird thing. Because you remember when those tapes were going? We don't need to do that.
We don't need to do that. I liked him.
But here's the deal. The thing about him is it's the same reason why people like Tom Cruise. His ability to focus and the juice he brings to the event.
I got it. When I saw him, I go, you know what? I get it. The guy's got it. He's got that aura, whatever.
Juice.
He's got the juice. He performs his... He had a little Brian Regan to him. Of course, I do, too, because I love Brian Regan.
Yeah.
Cleanest comic in the world, and I think funny.
He's really funny.
Great.
The thing I love about Brian Regan is he starts upright, and then through the joke...
It's over!
Yeah, he starts to move down to he's almost crouching, and then it's almost like he re-cocks and gets back up again.
Gotta do another Dennis Miller show! Dennis likes me!
Yeah.
Not Dennis Regan! That's my brother! Yeah.
Well, I haven't seen him in a while. Where's he been?
All over. You go to his website, he goes all over. And speaking of, I got a little MySpace thing that I started, so write me so I don't feel like a loser.
All right, Carlos. Yeah, you can write me too, but for something wrong with mine, I can't email out of mine. I gotta fix that.
But you
got CarlosAlzerocky.com.
Yes.
And you're on MySpace.
I am. And I was sad that I didn't get to see you perform because I haven't seen you perform in a long time.
I wanted to. And I was looking forward to performing for you, man, because I knew you were hanging out.
But
I just can't do that. My pride wouldn't allow me. Like, if Seinfeld came in, or if Robin came in, if somebody like that came in, even if I don't respect them, that's not the issue. But, you know, he comes in, it's just sort of like, he's not going to have any respect for me. He's going to do 45 minutes. And, you know, it even pissed me off when Chappelle did it. Mencia did it a couple weeks ago, and I walked because it was a weekend night. My name was on the marquee, and he came in and did an hour. And it's just like, look, on weekends, you shouldn't allow that. But I knew it was a weeknight, and I wasn't getting paid. So I wasn't going to hang out and watch 45 minutes of that and go clean up his mess. I just didn't want to do it.
Yeah. There's got to be a thing the other way where the other comic realizes that, like comic to comic. Like, hey, I know I'm bumping you, so I'm just going to do 10.
Well,
or I'll wait till the end of the show.
But I think that's true.
If I ever got that big, I'd do that.
Yeah, I think I think at least 20. You just do a regular spot, but I knew that wasn't going to be the case.
It wasn't going to be the case.
But why are we talking about him? Let's talk about you.
And serious issues.
Yeah, big issues, man.
Big issues. I was telling you the other night that I feel apolitical now because I was like one of seven people that to go see Going Up River before the election, John Kerry's documentary.
Yeah.
And then I saw Why We Fight twice, which was Eisenhower's foreboding message about the military industrial. Did you see these films?
Industrial complex. Yeah. I was forced to see them.
And I went on my own volition, my own, and I just, after seeing these movies like that, I went, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows.
That's they are able to insulate truth with such horse crap and distract people from knowing even things about fundamental like legislation and stuff. Most people have no idea.
Yeah. How influential even the Christian right can be. What's going wrong?
Oh, my God.
The Supreme Court that Bush got elected is even going, hey, buddy, you know. Slow down here. You're not. All hail King Bush.
Take it easy. We're not making uniforms for everybody yet.
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about the issues, but I've turned it off. I just want to be good in my community, I guess.
Well, that's good. You know, a lot of people choose that. Like, we had that guy, Nick Hexum, was just on here from the band 311.
Great band.
You like him?
I like him. I love
them. Well, he keeps his politics separate. He's active publicly, but he doesn't bring the band into it. So there is a stigma to being overtly political in one direction or the other in terms of being an entertainer sometimes.
Sure. There was a time where it made money to be political, obviously, during the Woodstock years and stuff
Well, that was because all of it was left-wing stuff, and half of it was built around First Amendment stuff. And it was all sex and saying, you know,
I always thought that being an artist was synonymous with being liberal.
Yeah.
I mean, if you took away, I always felt like saying that. I was like, all these people that say blue collar television, like, you say you don't like this, you say you don't like liberals, like, then you shouldn't listen to the Beatles, you shouldn't watch this television show because all those liberals you hate, those are the ones that are making the movies, man, and making all the art. But I found, really.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. That was in my more reactionary days and. But I don't know.
But I think you're right, and I think a lot of people tend to politicize certain artists who aren't necessarily, you know, representing politics. Like Foxworthy and Larry the Cable
and
Guy,
Bill Engvall.
Yeah, what do they call themselves?
The Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
That those guys are not political.
No,
they're and it's not like they're geniuses, but they're really just comedians that are representing a way of life that most people associate with red states. But they're not political. Guys,
no.
And the only guy I've seen be overtly political outside in terms of right wing, Bill Maher is a libertarian, and he's old school. When he does politics, he's sort of a cad. He fights for sex and he fights for rights, but he's, you know, ultimately liberal because of his position on certain things. But Dennis Miller. In that last special, that he was hitting Republican talking points, and it was heinous. He's like, you know, I'll make fun of politicians if they're Howard Dean, Hillary Clinton, and Bill Clinton. Yeah, I'll make fun of the science around global warming. Why would you even choose to do that?
To be different. There's a market for it.
Is there?
Sure. Yeah, I think he was plateauing at a certain point. He was obviously always a brilliant writer and thought,
Interesting. You think it was a business decision? Someone else did.
Boardroom. Yeah. Listen, Miller, I think you should go Republican.
Really?
Brilliant. Meeting adjourned.
You know? I thought he really felt that way.
I don't know. I guess they're from Minnesota, right? The Midwest, maybe.
Aren't they from? I thought they were from Pittsburgh.
Oh, well, his brother, Rich Miller, was always booking the club out in Minnesota. So I don't know. Maybe it is earnest. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like I'll tell you one thing. Sometimes it's weird because it becomes a stigma. I mean, if someone brings me up from Air America, I know there's a third of the audience are like, nah, he's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'll be fair. I know there are places like Texas and Indianapolis, and I'll try to make fun of both sides, or at least see what I perceive to be the truth, because we don't like the Republican administration, but yet the Democrats were spineless. It's like, how did 85 whatever senators or whatever vote for the war? Because you didn't want to lose your district or something?
They didn't want to lose their
seats?
That's right. They're still like that. They don't want to lose their seats. They want to lose their constituents. They didn't want to make the wrong call. And there's only one guy, Russ Feingold.
Yeah.
From Wisconsin, who's going to stand up and have a spine. He represents the spine.
Yeah, strike out swinging.
Yeah.
But, you know, that is part of the reason that we did lose in the debates of 2000 and maybe 2004 with Gore rolling his eyes and not going at it, and John Kerry just being, I always sort of liken him to an animatronic guy. I'm John Kerry, and I have a plan, which doesn't work on radio.
You like the Disneyland guy?
Yeah, he should have wore the hump that Bush had. I think he had the electronics going. But, yeah, so that was, I try to steer down the middle, I guess, because you got to do shows all over the country, and if you have an opinion, try to float the other side, but I don't know what we got us down that hallway. But.
So it's not a bland hallway. You're talking about how you feel, and you're making good sense, my friend.
Thank you. Good
it
sense.
It doesn't all have to be funny. Isn't it funny when you're a comic and all of a sudden you find you're like, I've just spent 4 minutes. I haven't said one funny thing, and now I'm done with it. And now I hope Mark saves me.
Yeah. Wait, let me do a cat noise.
Oh, I wish you were here during that hallucinatory thing.
Because you know how it is. We've done radio. Yeah. We had to do stand-up.
Oh, don't you hate that when you walk in, you're like, oh, you got 5 minutes. You got one segment. All right, so I'll just go right into my closer. And then you're like, it's so weird, but when you hit it on radio, on the road, you bring people come, man.
People do come.
It's weird because if you're on and they give you the moment, that people show up, and then when you do the bit, they're like, we heard that all on the radio.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to be better. No, it's the same bit. I did it word for I was no you fool.
Yeah, so are you shooting now? Are you done? What's going on?
We're done. Reno wrapped last June. We did two seasons back to back because Ben and Tom are busy on other projects. Yeah. So we wrapped 4 seasons last June. We wrapped a movie. I like wrapped Hollywood Duck.
Good.
We finished our film February 27th. It should come out in January in theaters. The Reno 911 Miami Fish Out of Water.
Awesome. Well, thanks for being here, Carlos.
Thank you for having me.
You can go to CarlosAlzeRocky.com. There's a link to it on my site because you spell it A-L-A-Z-R-A-Q-U-I.
Yeah.
It's complicated. So you can go link to it from my site. And then what? Yeah. MySpace too?
MySpace too, yeah.
All right. You're rolling. You're cottage industry. We'll be back with... with crying. Are we going to cry today or you want to wait a couple days, Jim? When do you want to cry?
I don't cry.
Really?
I do. I'm a wall.
Okay. He's a rock. He's an island. We'll be back. Right.